Today I'm going to talk about yet will I rejoice. Yet will I rejoice. Charles Spurgeon was known as the Prince of Preachers. And he once said that a little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but a great faith will bring heaven to your soul. And that's what we need in our lives. We need to bring heaven to our soul. Heaven to our soul is a goal that each one of us should be searching for. We desire to find heaven's peace and joy within us all times, especially when we're in the midst of difficulties and we're in the midst of trials. We desire heaven's peace. I know I do, and I pray all of us do. We pray that we'll be able to trust the Lord for sustenance through the unpleasant problem times of our lives. And there's a scripture in Habakkuk, not a book in the Bible that many of us are even familiar with, and probably most of us cannot even find it. It would take us a while to even find Habakkuk, let alone spell it. But in Habakkuk chapter 3, starting in verse 17 through 19, and this is where electronic Bibles on your phones and tablets really work good. But Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 17, or starting verse 17, says, and I tell you what, I really love this scripture. I really love this scripture. It says, though the fig tree does not bud or blossom or flourish, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Lord God Almighty is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and He enables me to go on the heights. You know, in this portion of Scripture here, Habakkuk has learned the lesson of faith. That is to trust God's providence or God's fortune, regardless of the circumstances and regardless whatever situation. He declares that even if God should send suffering and calamity and loss, that He would still rejoice in God His Savior. Now, how many of us here could say that today? In the midst of calamity and destruction and all sorts of problems, that we would rejoice in the Lord. In fact, you know, it doesn't even seem to make sense, does it? It's crazy. It's really crazy. But that's what faith is. Faith is, you just have this crazy belief. The world would say you're crazy. But God will say you're faithful. Faithful. In the Targum, which is the Aramaic translation, it states, but in the word of the Lord will I rejoice. That is, a Habakkuk would trust and rejoice in the personal, substantial word of God. And how many of us here trust in the word of God? How many of us really believe that what it says in here is true? If you don't believe what's in here is true, then you have no faith. You have no faith. What are you believing in? You have to believe what's in the word of God, that it's 100%. Now, some people say, you know, there's historical parts of it, and there's parts that are just poems, and there are parts that are just kind of futuristic or allegories, just kind of stories. And every word of this is true. And I have bet my life on it. And I've bet my life that I will stand in the presence of God based on what this word says. And that's what we can stand on. In verse 19, Habakkuk declares that the Lord is his strength and that He gives him sure-footed confidence. And that's what Melech David, King David, meant when he said in Psalm 18, starting verse 32, "It is my God who arms me with strength, and He makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights." What is it to have feet like a deer? We're sure-footed. We're agile. That we can leap. And God wants us to be like that. We're sure-footed. We know what we know. We can leap in faith and joy, knowing and believing and trusting in God. We can climb to the highest heights. Like the deer, and sometimes you see the mountain goats, how they can climb almost, sometimes it looks like they almost climb vertically up mountains. But God has enabled them, and God has enabled you. These two verses here give one of the finest examples of submission to God's will and confidence in the Lord's faithfulness in all of the Scriptures. Habakkuk saw that evil, calamity, destruction was at hand, and it was unavoidable, and he chose to submit to the will of God. That is, whatever God was going to deal or parcel out, that he was going to accept it no matter what. He knew that God was merciful, and we need to know that God is merciful. We know he knew that God was gracious. He trusted in God's promise, though all the appearances around him were against its fulfillment. He knew that the word of the Lord could not fail. And because of this, his confidence was unshaking. And we as well have to know that the word of God will not, cannot, and will never fail. This is what we trust in. This is what we hope in. This is what we've given our life over to. And this is what's going to get you to heaven right here. Trusting in God and His Word will get you there. You know, Yeshua, Jesus, He is our perfect example of faith and trust in God in the midst of difficulties and trials. And because he suffered horribly and faced great temptation, he understands our problems. And let me tell you, he really cares. Yeshua cares. As a result, we can totally trust our Father in heaven and know that we have a great mediator. That is Yeshua, who stands in our defense. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, starting in verse 16, Hebrews 4, starting in verse 16, we read, "Therefore, since we have a great Kohen Gadol, a great high priest, who has gone through the heavens, Yeshua the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a Kohen Gadol, a high priest, who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every single way." Yeshua was tempted in every single way, just as we are, yet he was without sin. "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." And Yeshua, again, he is our perfect example. He rejoiced in the word of God. He understood the need for being filled with the Ruach Elohim, with the Spirit of God. When tempted by the devil in Matthew 4:4 and also in Luke 4:4, the fourth chapter of Luke as well, he says, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Let me tell you, when you pray and when you're tempted, you need to be praying the Word of God. You need to be praying the word of God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. I can do all things through the Messiah who gives me strength. I have the mind of Messiah. I can take every thought captive and make it obedient to him. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. I am crucified with the Messiah, and nevertheless I live. Yet it's not I who lives, but it's him who lives in me. Thank you, Lord. Yes, in the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave his life for me. I got so excited. I got ahead of myself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Faith does not live by bread alone. It feeds on promises. It makes future glory present. It sees all and everything in God. And when that fig tree does not blossom, faith can find joy in the God of our salvation. As God gave the children of Israel manna in a supernatural way, so also we must trust God for our spiritual feeding. Spiritual feeding will fill us when we're empty spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And I tell you, there's times I feel that way. I feel like I'm running on empty. I'm running on fumes. And I need to get that spiritual feeding and fill up my tank so that I'm running on a full tank, full of the Spirit of God. And you know, as believers, we're very leaky. We leak. You know what I'm talking about? You ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit, but because of the things you do and say in your life and sins, it just leaks out and it leaks out, and you need to be refilled and refilled. You need that constant refilling so that God can operate and move in your life. You know, many of us are going through very difficult walks in our life. Does that speak about any of you in here? You know, maybe the fig tree, the grapevines, and the olive branches are barren. There are no sheep or cattle in the stalls. Maybe you go to the refrigerator and you open it and there's nothing in there. You open up the cabinets, they're bare. You go to your car, if you even have one, and you don't have any gas. Maybe you don't even have a job. You don't have a place to live. You're sleeping in a car. You're sleeping who knows where. At times, we feel like dry bones in a barren desert. Maybe you're saying, Lord, I need a job. Lord, I need a car. I need healing. Lord, I need a miracle. Remember, those who are in prayer at 10 this morning, we're talking about that miracle that we all need. Yet, can we rejoice in these difficult situations? Can you find joy in the midst of these difficult situations? You know, and I'm not standing up here and pretending like I'm Superman in any way whatsoever. Boy, I struggle with these areas. I get down sometimes. Sometimes I get anxious. Sometimes I feel, you know, depressed. And I know the more and more I spend with the Lord and get filled up, fill up my tank with the Spirit of God, the more and more I'm able to find joy in the midst of all these difficult situations. Thank you, Lord. Can we still seek the Lord in the midst of hardship and difficulty? You know, when King David was in the desert of Judah and he was being chased night and day by King Saul, who wanted to take his life and kill him, he said these words in Psalm 63, verse 1. And I always say this when I'm in my prayer. O God, you are my God. Earnestly will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. Those are some amazing words. Can you say, as King David said in verses 2 through 5, I have seen you in the sanctuary. I have beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the riches of food. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Can you do that in a dry and a barren place in your life? And let me tell you, if you do that, you're going to find joy in the midst of the difficulties. I'm telling you, I'm promising you, you will find that joy. And with that joy, and as you seek the Lord, you'll begin to see God just putting all those puzzle pieces together. You're beginning to see how God is forming those things into a miracle. Things that you would never have imagined, never would have believed God is wanting to do for you in your life. Thank you, Lord. So can we praise God in the midst of the desert experience and rejoice in His salvation? Can we praise Him as long as we live and be satisfied as if we had partaken of the riches of food? When faced with the desert adversity, will we still lift our hands and praise and sing loving music to the Lord? And I hope during your times with the Lord that you praise Him in song. I always sing at least two or three songs during my prayer time. Always sing songs. I bet you know hundreds of songs. I've been in this movement since 1980. And I was saved in 79, but I know hundreds, literally hundreds of songs by heart. I'm telling you. I've sang them so many times, or who I am. And when difficult times come, oh, even if sometimes, you know, we can't even pray, we feel so bad. You ever get that? There's times where I just sit there and, Lord, I can't even pray. And I sometimes even have tears in my eyes. I don't even know what to do, Lord. I don't even have the strength to pray. But I can sing. I can sing to Him, and my soul rejoices, and my spirit is uplifted as I sing to the Lord. I just encourage you. Thank you, Lord. No one said that our walk with the Lord is going to be easy and problem-free. It's not at all. We're not promised a rose garden. Sometimes we get thorns and thistles. Sometimes we get seashells in our heel of our foot. Because I went, when my daughter was here a couple weeks ago, we went to the dog beach and took our dogs and seashells all over. And I stepped on a sharp one. I had three pieces of seashell in the heel of my foot. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. My daughter, you know, she got them out. Praise the Lord. You know, the patriarchs, the prophets, all the kings of Israel, they faced so many adversities. Yeshua suffered such injustice and persecution for the kingdom of God that we might have eternal life through His atoning death. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, and the Talmudim, the disciples of Yeshua, faced such great opposition and were martyred for the Word of God. If we're having difficult times, let me tell you, we're in great company. At least, we still have our heads. Most of them lost their heads, literally. However, as John said in 1 John 5:4, everyone born of God overcomes the world. Thank you, Lord. And the indwelling Ruach Elohim, Spirit of God, the breath, as we sang, this is the breath, the air I breathe. The breath and Spirit of the living God gives us the strength to walk in victory day by day. Rosh Shaul, the Apostle Paul, understood the pain and struggle of our daily walk. And he assured us of God's everlasting love and our victory in Yeshua the Messiah, as he wrote in Romans 8, verses 37 through 39, he said, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors in him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord." That's a good scripture to memorize, isn't it? You need to know that scripture. So what did Habakkuk mean when he said, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will be joyful in God my strength"? Habakkuk was saying to us that it doesn't matter how the circumstances and the situations appear in the flesh. Doesn't matter. For he has found the secret of being content in every and each situation because he trusted in God's faithful hand of love to carry him from one stage to the other. Thank you, Lord. And this is also the lesson of Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, that he learned. And we read his words in Philippians chapter 4. Starting in verse 11, Philippians 4:11 says, "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every and each situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Another scripture, you need to know these words and allow these words to fill you completely. Many of us here have gone through times like this. We have known needs. I always think of my wife, you know, the way she was raised. And so many, you know, you see my wife sometimes and I think my wife is beautiful. But when she was a child, and I know a number of you have read her book, an amazing book. She had no food to eat at all as a child. She had to actually go looking for food, you know, even stealing food because there was no food to eat. She didn't know if she was going to have anything to eat that day or not. When they could catch a pigeon and make soup, that was, you know, wonderful. Like I say, this is an example of someone who knows what it is to be in need and knows what it is to have plenty. We need to be people who are content. And be assured that we can do everything through Yeshua who gives us strength. He gives us strength to rejoice in the midst of difficulties, hardships, and suffering. So I want to just close with two scriptures that sum up our need to approach God in everything. So that we may walk in peaceful joy, trusting Him and expecting good things from the Lord. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7 says that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and guard your minds in Messiah Yeshua. Another scripture you need to know. I always say this all the time in my prayer. It's in my heart. I know it. Matthew 6:33, another scripture that we need to know. Short scripture, but it's so important. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Not your kingdom, not your righteousness, not your way, but His way. You do it God's way. What is God saying? What does God want? Not what do I want? What is He saying to you? And as you're faithful to seek God first, He is going to then show you what it is, what His will is for you. You know, it might be totally different than you even think. In fact, it probably is a lot of the times. As a young child and a young adult, I never thought I would be up here. I would have laughed you out of the room. You're crazy. I used to make fun of Christians. I really did. I remember when I was in the Air Force and there were some Christians, you know, that I worked with, and one in particular who was ordained, and he would hold meetings, you know, in his house and invite people to. I used to make fun of him and ridicule him all the time, that he was just trying to get tax cuts and all these. I would just ridicule him all the time. And here I am. Oh, you never know what's going to happen. God gets a hold of your life. When God gets a hold of your life. I never thought when I received the Lord, had no idea what that meant. No idea what. As I told you a few weeks back, I just did it to get out of the church. I was invited there and I didn't want to be there, and everyone was looking at me, expecting me to receive the Lord because I was Jewish, and I didn't want to be there, and I just did it and said, "Okay, now I'm out of here." And, but God said, "No, you're not." This is now your life. And you never know when you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness what's going to happen. As we approach what's known as the end of days, times are going to get very difficult, very frightful, very scary even. They are. Yeshua said in Matthew 24, verses 6 through 13, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are just the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death." You know, that's happening now in India. Christians are being slaughtered in India. They're being found beheaded all the time. And a lot of the various African nations where Islam has a big hold, you're seeing Christians murdered and slaughtered. You're seeing all over the world this taking place. "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. You will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate one another. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people." Well, let me tell you, we have many false prophets. Unless you know the Word of God, you'll be deceived. "Because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved." And then Yeshua goes on to say a little bit further, "Then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world up until this time, and never to be equaled again. In those days, or if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened." There are some scary times ahead, but you need to be grounded and rooted in the Word of God and find your strength in Him. You know, I could go on and on and on about the difficulties facing the world and our lives as we approach these last days. However, that's not the message that I wanted to share today. I want us all to leave today realizing that in the midst of these horrific, world-changing events, we need to cling to the only hope that we have that will bring us through all these trials and all these temptations and all these difficult times. During these difficult times, we need to look to Yeshua and seek the Lord with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. We need to trust the Lord with our very lives and put our lives faithfully into His loving hands. And once we do this, we can say, just as Habakkuk said, "Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my strength." Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, oh, I pray, Lord, that those words, Lord, would fill me, oh God, and change me. And I pray these words would fill each one of us here and change us, oh God.